six powerful instructions how to bring us back on course and gradually bring our japa to perfection. I see you note them down. I suggest that you note down one by one as number one, and then I will talk about this, what it means. I have only given some formulas with some snappy sentences, because in America I learned we need some snappy sentences, which some motto, so to say, and I have tried in my imperfect way to use the American language properly, to do something which you can easily remember, so to say. Sanatana Goswami has given the following six rules for bringing your mantra chanting to perfection. And the Sanskrit verse is Mana Samhadanam Shocham Monam Mantra Tachintanam Avyagradvam Anirvedo Japa Sampati Hetava. Translation. In order to perfect one's chanting of japa, japa sampati hetavaha, in order to perfect one's chanting of japa, one needs to cultivate the following qualities. Note the word, you need to cultivate this quality. Cultivate means you do them, you do these qualities, you act as if, and then these qualities will come to you. Like, how do you cultivate humility? You act as if you are humble, and then you are moved and influenced by humility, and one day you are humble. Huh? So you cultivate it in the same way. You practice in these areas, six areas. And then he says, this brings you to perfect your chanting. And we have heard what perfect chanting is. It means that you will actually be in direct audience with God. You will directly see Him with His beautiful form, His qualities, and also His pastimes. One of our members is allergic to fragrances, and we would have to decide between fragrance and one of our members. And we have decided for one of our members. So we have to put the fragrance away or out best. Otherwise, one of our members will faint from the japa retreat and or run out. So what you it could be put in the... Anyways, no. So the first area is... I will first read everything. Control of the mind, internal and external purity, silence, contemplation of the mantra's meaning, patience, and steadfastness. So let us go to mana samharana, control of the mind. Does any one of you remember from Gita Krishna's formula on mind control?
Oh.
Engage your mind always of thinking of me. Here was an...
The mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, bring it back kind of control.
Yeah. From wherever the mind wanders due to its restless nature,
Bring it back
under the control of the self. The Sanskrit is yata yata nischalati. Huh? Wherever this chanchala mind wanders, bring it back. It's like, did some of you have dogs before you came to Krishna consciousness? You had... everyone is so super careful now. To, I'm preaching to a professor, and the professor came into a terrible situation. We were just having very personal, our relationship was in the mood of, was in the stage of building friendship, something very desired. And he said, Sachinandan Swami, I know this is an unexpected request, but, you know, I have to join this telephone conference for half an hour. At the same time, my dog needs to pass. And you know, at the same time, I want to continue discussing with you after the telephone conference. Could you just go with the dog and you just... I said, I've never done this, you know, when to stop, when to wait. And so, very easy, very easy. You watch the natural situation unfold and then you know. Here I was, a Swami. I said to him, really, I'm very unqualified for this job. I don't even know how to use a computer, what to speak of a dog, you know. But anyways, the situation was there, and then his wife had trouble with the daughter. She couldn't do it. She had to talk it out with the daughter. And finally I said, Mahaprabhu, please save me. Krishna, please save me. And then I went and chanted japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And what I noticed is the dog was very, very energetic. It began to run away, and I had this leech, this modern leech. It goes like, is it a leech? Leech? Is it?
Leech.
A leash. It was going like, my God, I thought, what is happening here? Will this dog run away? And the bang. I noticed whenever I had to then bring it back, especially when it came next to, the professor said, be aware, Mai is a male dog and there are female dogs also in the area. So bring the dog back when you see him running very enthusiastically. So I remember being in this exercise of, you know, and I soon began to understand, if I go too intensely, the dog will give resistance. But if I do a little, it's like a science. I soon noticed I couldn't chant japa. I had to fully concentrate. And then the dog got the message and gently, by my gentle pulling, came back. I soon noticed this intricate detail of the situation was revealed to me. You know, you can't pull him so strongly, pull him gently. And as I was going through this exercise, I actually noted, this is what the mind is like. It finds some interest in the world, especially when we chant, and then runs to that subject matter this is my enemy, why did he have to say this about me, what did he really mean, behind the lines, and this problem, how to solve it, you know. The mind is constantly running away to these things. So according to Krishna's definition, you have to bring it back. And I would like to add to this. It's not that I should add something. I would like to say also something from practical experience. Don't do it too toughly. Don't go like sometimes you see devotees like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. This is not how it works. You give too much value to the disturbing thought, that you give it such a phase, you know, such an intense phase. It is not... Oh yes, it went to some unmentionable place or something which we don't want to reveal. Okay, come back now. We are chanting here. Like this. Not with too much intensity. Then you will then it will never work. Gently pull back your mind. Don't take it serious. It's like a little dog, like a child. Yes, you know where the dog has run. You don't need to analyze it. Most probably there was a dog pile somewhere and it caught its fascination. So this is how dogs are. It's a little dirty. And you gently build it. And then it will come. But if you go like, then the dog will go like, and you have the fight. I thought to say this a little. So, mana sangharana, control the mind, means repeatedly bring the mind back when it wanders. Then comes socham. Socham, or purity. Purity refers to outside purity and inside purity. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear what a pure heart means. It's a heart which is free from the weeds called unacceptable behavior, diplomatic behavior, enviousness, the desire to constantly have profit profit in any transaction. You know this, what's in for me? Pratishtha, recognition, and puja, the desire to be worshipped. You will find this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 12:135. There's a very nice description of these internal impurities that we have to get off. You remember the Gundicha cleansing pastime, where this pastime was made by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So socham, you must know this internal cleanliness. I feel it is equally as important, or even more important than the external. Don't we all know that internal challenges, you know, enviousness, clings much more to us than sweat and mud or anything? It is much more persistent. And if you allow these things to go on in your mind, you will remain very disturbed. And this disturbance will manifest when you chant. When you try to chant and you are so impure, you are vibrating with impurity, enviousness, trouble, what else, anger, lust can be very, so on. Oh. Then how will you concentrate on the Holy Name? Instead, the time when you chant will be an anatta review for you. You know, because these things always come up in the heart, you know. So you must in your practice be very, very, very careful about it. I would like to give you a little example what I mean with this. Be careful with nisidacha, acceptable activity which is unacceptable. I remember I was once in a seminar, you know, I was invited, and it was, what was it, in the university something. There was a conference and one speaker came and he showed part of a movie, and in this movie happened to be a scene of lovers becoming intimate. So, I remember, what should I do? You know, I don't want to look like a fanatic, but I could see it was coming into that scene where where they were not properly dressed and where their sounds were a little bit from the lower chakra, you know, the sounds. And I just said, I don't care what anyone thinks. I made like this. And then the speaker who had shown this movie, he felt offended or something. So in, as he continued, he made a bad remark about me, how fanatic and how, you know, something slighting. So he didn't know his enemy. I said, I will give it back to him, but just very elegant, gently. Then when it came my time, I thought, I said, people now talk, in my speech, I put it as nice as I could, people talk about environment pollution. It was something about environment and CO2 and ozone and so on. We talk about this, but do you know why there is environment pollution? Because there is mind pollution. Mind pollution means with greed. People want more and more, and they don't care for the environment. And you see, I'm now in this world, everything is sold with sexuality. A movie cannot sell if there is no sexuality. And lust is there. In the ancient traditions where they had spiritual information and spiritual sanity, it was known we all have six enemies, and we don't want to give the best place of these enemies to us. So monks have traditionally fought the mind pollution by just not allowing all this garbage to enter into their minds. Said like this. So if some of you have seen a monk today not allowing garbage to enter into his mind, don't be scornful at him. It is not necessary. It is unnecessary to be scornful at someone who thinks about mental purity. when you say things elegantly and gently and so on, people will understand. So this, I feel, is necessary also for us Hare Krishnas. When we walk through the street, we must be careful what comes in. When we talk with people, and when we are in relationships, you know, you suffer the most when you have bad feelings towards someone. There was, in Psychology Today, there was this article, I heard it actually as a from a CD, there was an article, there was a lecture on the CD where this article was quoted. They had made an experiment with anger. They had a person who was angry for 10 minutes, breathe on a piece of glass, and then they scraped the condensate, is it called condensate? Condensation away, and they gave this to a guinea pig, and the guinea pig instantaneously died. Then they took, apparently, I don't know how they made this measurement, a person who had been angry for 1 hour about something, and he really did a good, you know, and his condensation of the breath was then scraped off. They had killed 80 guinea pigs. So to think that you can be angry and it is in your, you will not suffer from it, is as foolish as to think you can drink a glass of poison and the other person suffers from it, not you. It's very foolish. Oh, it says like this even. The whole body becomes polluted by anger, says Srila Prabhupada in the Gita. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Priyavrata. So, inside cleanliness, so important. You get sick from this anger and worries. It pollutes the body, it gets... Stress is another one which is a killer, you know. It's really you get sick, you get chronic diseases and so on. Fear also kills you. The next is silence, you can see on our board. That means no unfavorable talk. Talk of Krishna or related subjects. Or talk spiritually, but not unfavorable. And the most unfavorable is criticizing others. That is, that of all prajalpa, writes Sanatana Goswami, to criticize others is the most unfavorable thing. So silence, you may not need to do outside of your immediate japa practice. It's very good if you don't interrupt your japa with japa. That is an English word? Japa. What?
Japa.
Yeah, that should not be done. At least finish your rounds, and you can motion to the devotee who wants to talk with you on your japa. He will understand. I know in Radha Gopinath temple, if you interrupt someone, your prestige is sinking into the cellar. You know, I'm very talkative by nature, and I once talked. I met Radhanath Maharaj after a long time, and I said, he was sitting in the japa period. He just gave me a glance as if I had done the most outrageous thing in the world. Then I thought, oh yes, he does not want to talk while japa. Very good. He talks with, he is addressing Krishna. He's calling Krishna. Isn't it impolite? You know, I'm with someone in a dialogue, and then all of a sudden, oh, what do you want? Yes, it's also very interesting. Just wait. And what is up? What did he say? You know, not God. So, monam, during the practice, silence during the practice and outside the practice, if you want to cultivate this as a quality, start to cut down on your unfavorable talking. A little, maybe one sentence less. Then another sentence less. Then more sentences less. And soon you will feel your whole quality of life changing. This tongue, this spineless creature, it ruins our life. So, yes. That was silence. Now, mantrata chintanam means you contemplate the meaning of your mantra while you chant. I wrote, be with it, you know. After all, you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What do? You address the Lord, so be there. Contemplate about the Lord, and the best way to contemplate about the Lord is contemplate the meaning of the mantra while chanting. All right, next one. Yes, Sukavaha. Of course, when I would be careful when it comes, you know. Sometimes we have passages in the japa where we feel just so close to the deity, isn't it? When we chant before the deity, I've seen you before the beautiful deities of Radha Muli Manohar. Oh, you must visit these deities. They take more and more of they're so effulgent. And then you feel with them and feel very protected and close, and so that is very good. Yeah. Yes, Rukmini?
I just had a question about silence. When we hear stories of Nishringananda Brahmachari or this Brahmin and the sweet rice, those kinds of stories, my question is, to backtrack a little bit, someone gave me a book from a Christian teacher, Anthony Demuno.
Yeah, I know.
It's called Sadhana, and he's using Vedic practices but applying them to Christian begin to pray, first we have to have silence, because prayer is coming from us, but we want to be able to hear the Lord's instruction to us. And I sort of, my question is, how does that fit with the Vaishnava practice? I mean, is there a place for silence, or is it just that we're chanting, and if Krishna reciprocates, that will come while we're chanting, or is there a place for silence?
In the 8th canto there is a verse which describes how Gajendra prayed to the Lord. And in this verse we will find something. He brought his attention to his heart. I think it's something like collecting yourself, you know, and take a moment. Don't we do this? You know, we are so much in a rush, and very naturally, then we come to the chanting, then we go like, okay. Today, Satswarup Maharaj asked a question to me, and I was not at all prepared I was listening, and I was thinking about what he had said, and I remember then he wanted a question, some answer on something. And immediately, and very naturally, I thought, well, let me not talk immediately now. Let me first collect myself. I have to draw my mind now out of the hearing. What was again his question? Silence. Then I was silent for a moment and thought what would come as a possible answer. So this collecting yourself, I think, is very important. And this is what Gajendra did when he put his mind into his heart. It's like we collect ourselves. Bring our thought to the action which we do. For instance, Nirbandha, when you chant, it is said you must bring your thoughts to your action. And now I will chant. It's now something different. Now about observing, did I answer this, or did you want to know beyond that? Is there really something in a Vaishnava practice like monam, like being silent for a period of time?
Yes, I'm asking about Sringananda Brahmachari, the Brahman and the sweet rice. Is there a place for
The meditation, you mean?
Yes.
Meditation, that's more than silence, that's meditation. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Murukmini, I was. I'm very sorry. I talked. You asked here, and I talked here somewhere. Did not understand your question. Is there a meditation in Krishna consciousness? I have written a chapter on this in the new book, Naam Rahasya, the Secret of the Holy Name. Because many devotees want this, and it's a book in the coming. And if someone is rich here and wants to sponsor, welcome. There Prabhupada, I've quoted Srila Prabhupada in Geneva, where he gave a diamond throne meditation. I believe you know this meditation, that Prabhupada says we should in our heart place a diamond throne, and then we should imagine, he uses the word imagine, that the Lord sits down, and we should give him a very nice bath, then we should give him new dress, we should dry him, we should give him new dress, and then we should offer him a meal. And he says that is not false, this is reality, and this is very inexpensive. So he has given he has talked about this. Of course, smaranam, the practice of smaranam, is very, very much in Vaishnav tradition. You know, it's Shravanam, Kirtanam, then Smaranam. You know, this Smaranam is there, but in our particular line, we hold the opinion that when we do Kirtan, the benefit of smaranam is achieved because the holy names bring the mind immediately under control. That is our... We are not so much in the smaranam tradition. Other Vaishnava orientations are very much in this tradition. We are... it's a very, very long practice, very long subject matter. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave talked about the Smaranam tradition, and he talked to one disciple, Vrakeshwara Pandit, whose disciple wrote this very nice this book about meditation about Radha and Krishna. It's a meditative guideline how to do it. So it's not that this is outside of our tradition, but our acharyas have not stressed it so much and not trained us systematically in this. However, if you are a contemplative person, then and you want to give expression to this, my thing is because Prabhupada spoke about this in Geneva and gave us some way, you can do this. You can invite Krishna in your heart. That is done in the deity worship, Manasi Seva it's called, and you can serve him there. You can find it out from the Archana Padati how to do that. And if you want to do that and experience this, it's certainly not forbidden. It should be done when you feel the inclination. And with this I come to a very important statement. See, we all hanker after advancement, after going into, after relieving the dryness from our heart, you know, and feeling something like love and closeness to Krishna. I would say this happens automatically if you improve your Naam chanting. Because, as Prabhupada said, you don't have to endeavor for this separately. When you chant, Krishna and Krishna's pastimes will come. And many devotees have made this experience. I know from my god brothers, there is all of a sudden you think of Krishna and what you have heard in the Krishna book, what you have heard there. It comes very automatically, but you must purify the mind, because if there is so much furniture in your mind, that the guests cannot sit down, then this is a not good planning of your inside decorations. Throw some of the furniture out, purify yourself, and the guest will find a place to sit. Romapat Maharaj.
Two things, just to amplify the answer that you gave. I read Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati describing the nine processes, and when he got to Smaranam, he wrote that when a Vaishnava commits to memory slokas from the Bhagavatam, like this recital that we heard, and guides their life by those instructions, that's Smaranam.
Wonderful.
So he's giving us that as the sadhana of Smarana, as opposed to this other sadhana of Smarana. And let me just, you've given us the Sanskrit for these terms, except I didn't catch the one for contemplation.
Contemplation, Mantrata Chintanam is the Sanskrit. Mantrata, like mantra and ata, mantrata. New word, Chintanam. Chintanam is somehow with Chaitana or Chintana. I'm not a Sanskrit waller myself, so this is, but it is certainly like this. Oh, I made a mistake. Umapad Maharaj. It's mantrata. No, here it says mantarta even. I will write it down for you. Because it's... Where is the pen, please? I would like to write it down because I made now two mistakes in saying it. I take it directly from the verse. Here, I found it. Yes, one thing at the time. Sorry. Man, like mana, huh? And then man ta. Yes. A new word. Chin ta nam. Yes, Divyambara. I'm sorry for being so rude. It means, yes, this verse is also in the Gayatri book. Mantata, then shp, chintanam.
Mine would have whole verse.
Yeah, I
can include it in the email.
Yes, okay. By the way, what Romapad Maharaj said, Rukmini, is a quotation from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. That's actually, there are two types of meditation in the Vaishnava tradition. This comes in the Krishna Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami. One is mantra upasana, and the other is svarasika upasana. Mantra upasana. What this means is you take a mantra, and then you meditate about what is said in the mantra. We should maybe slowly open the window. So you chant the mantra and you meditate. It is my firm understanding that Prabhupada did this with the Govindam prayers. Every day we sing these mantras. Venum kanvantam aravinda. Maybe one day comes where we are interested in the meaning of this mantra. If it comes, then we will be able to meditate and do what it means. Then the other, angani yas. I once gave a seminar on these two verses only, because I think it's, you know, why do we sing this every morning? In order to not know what it says? Is that the idea? We should know what it says. And that is mantra upasana. You worship the Lord and with a mantra and you meditate on this mantra. And then comes another one, svarasika. Svarasika upasana, that is for a very advanced level devotee who is on the level of raga, of attachment, who will start with one thing, which is one pastime or anything about Krishna, which is described in one mantra. And then his meditation carries him to the next, and here and there, and before the day has ended, he is still meditating about Krishna. But that comes when spontaneous attraction is there, cannot be imitated. But about mantras, we can meditate like we did. We felt so enriched by our two Vaikuntha Vasis. What are you, Vaikuntha, or Rich Vasis, or Gandhavas? What? Angels. From Goloka, angels from Goloka. So this is yes. We felt, let us hear very carefully and let us enter into this meaning of the thing. Yes, Rukmini.
It's not exactly my question.
Sorry.
Yeah. Something coming from the other direction and having the silence to be able to hear or understand that. Somewhere within our Vaishnava Sampradaya, or is that Abha Sampradaya?
I always say in my lectures, you must be silent to hear God speaking to you. And I feel in our in these two verses, Tesham Satata Yoktanam Vajatam Pritipurvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mang Upayantiti Te. Krishna gives the intelligence by which you can come to Him. I mean, if you are not silent, how will you? Here, I think that contemplation is just natural for someone who goes in this direction. And I don't feel that on this very innocent form or very, let me say, very natural form of silence, much instructions need to be given. How can you hear the Lord when your mind is oscillating so much? I think that is implied. Don't we always do this? You know, we stand before the deity, we pray, and we wait for some inspiration. That waiting period is silence. Do you see, my dear devotees? I feel in I'm now giving an answer like a lecturer tries to give an answer to his audience. It's a subject matter for which many sections of our movement have great interest. It's an involved subject matter, and it really, the way I always deal with it, spiritual life is something you have to follow your own path, your intuition in some senses, and make sure that you remain on the path which your spiritual master has given you. Intuition and all these things, I feel, is necessary. It should not be killed. It should be given expression. It's Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, conscience, not consciousness, conscience is the voice of the super soul talking to you. You should listen to that voice. And some silence is required, some listening silence. Mm-hmm. By the way, this will be the last person I can take on this subject because of time limitations.
Lord Brahma, after he was walking, you know, exploring, he finally just sat down and just had to listen. And then heard.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about the...
We have announced...
Not silence, but contemplation. The meaning of the mantra.
Yeah.
Brief. It seems to, you know, Prabhupada's explanation was very simple. And in our Gaudiya tradition even, with Gayatri and other mantras, there's like a nam by nam or a word by word explanation. And it helps guide the mind.
Yeah.
Intelligence while you're meditating. But Srila Prabhupada's explanation was so general. And I don't mean to denigrate him in any way. And I see the value in what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Lord, please engage me in your service. I personally found when I use the Hari Bhakti Vilas, they have the mm-hmm. Nam by Nam explanation. And there's so many Bhakti Vinod Thakur, so many Acharyas.
Yeah.
It really helped me guide my mind as I chanted.
Mm-hmm.
It's an issue. I've always wondered. It seems that this idea of just hearing the sound, it almost seems insufficient.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Meditating about the meaning while you take it is nice. Prabhupada gave us the essence and the essence, but he has directed us to our glorious Sampradaya. I mean, this is what an Acharya does. He will give the emphasis, he will give the direction, but he is not to be seen outside of a tradition. This is where sectarianism comes in, when you cut Prabhupada or cut an acharya off a tradition. He doesn't want that. It's maybe his followers who have no desire to read literature who do this. There are statements where Prabhupada would direct us to the books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But it must be done. That's very important now. Within the framework of what the acharya has given. So if the other acharyas, you will find, give some emphasis or something, then that is very good for their following, but we will be with our acharya. No? So when you read the Hari Bhakti Vilas meanings, they are all, many of them revolve around service, but they are a little bit more specific, the meanings. So when a person feels the maturity and calling and he wants to do that, then let him do. Let him do. That is desired. When there is some purification of the heart and some desire. Spiritual development is something which is totally individual. And you will feel when it comes, when it's genuine there, so on. Here, at this stage, you see the weakness of my presentation. You all want to discuss, which is so good, but I am always rolling over everything in my enthusiasm. I'm learning. I have, but now I want to finish the last two points. Is it all right with you? You please empower me. Avyagratva, patience. Don't rush. When you don't rush your rounds in just this counting game, huh? This word avyagratva, vyagratva refers to the restless quality of the mind. Vyagratva means restlessness and avyagratva means the opposite, which is patience. The mind is restless and Krishna speaks about this. Chanchala hi mana Krishna. Huh? It's always restless, so put a little calmness and peace in the mind. And how to do this? Krishna gives in the Gita two descriptions, suitable practice and detachment. This is how you can be more patient. Someone who is attached cannot be patient. I must quickly get this over with, you know, who's attached to this concept to quickly end. He cannot be patient. So detachment is necessary and suitable practice. Abhyasa, yoga and vairagya. These two things. And finally, my dear devotees, this is only a list to take home. So finally, there must be anirveda. Anirveda means steadfastness. And what this means is one should be persistent and not lose hope when one does not attain the expected results as quickly as one has expected them to come. You find this in Rupa Goswami's instructions also, that there should be patience. Huh? Steadfastness is a little bit like this. Keep on the practice and don't lose hope. Huh? This is how I found it's in the commentary, how these qualities are there. So my dear devotees, before we get too long, these are the areas in which I request you to practice. Maybe you make a piece of paper, you go over it, and then you just try, okay, control of the mind. Okay, purity, I will be a little bit more careful in my life, so that I'm not constantly polluted, things are put into me. Silence, I will be a little bit more decent with my tongue. I will contemplate, I will be with this chanting, with Krishna. Patience, I will not rush. And steadfastness, I just will not allow that if the results don't come, that I will become a little slow, that I will lose hope. This I wanted to give to you. You have written it down. That's very, very kind of you and very nice. And now you have something which will help you to bring your practice to success. I really have stressed this, really, and not so much my messages. My messages are included in this here because I feel it's nice. Maybe you have something before your door. Before you go out in the morning, there's control of the mind. There's purity. There's silence. There's contemplation. There's patience. There's steadfastness. You will see how your life, when you practice in these areas, when you give energies to these areas, will improve and you will become perfect chanters, Kosanda. I have no doubt. My dear devotees, what is left to do is I would be very, very happy if you give me now a feedback. See, I want to tell you, I'm very much convinced that supplying devotees with an experience, a spiritual experience, is what they want. I'm also further convinced that even the people who are not yet devotees, if they can get an experience when they come to us, then this is the best preaching. This experience will bind their hearts forever. And I'm trying to make this my seminar experience-oriented. I must tell you that when I started with this seminar, I had something a little else in mind. I have in the who of you knows Ingmar Bergman, the fame it's a filmer, the film director from Sweden who puts out some very interesting movies which have become cult movies. My parentage is from Sweden, and I mean this is my line. That's where I was obviously born in Germany. And he made one movie which totally moved me as a child. The scene, a village, a very, very nice village priest. He is there with the people. He is there drinking pivo, what is beer? Yes, beer in their gostilnas, in their what is it? Caverns. Yes, he is really that priest who is really with the people, mixing with. There is a rumor that he stole a little money from the church, but his village supports him. God, he is our man. You know, he's a little like a Hell's Angels priest, you know, who also drives a motorbike and hears Hell's Angels music and smokes a cigarette and mixes with the people. He dies. Now a replacement is sent to the village, and they sent a very strict priest for a change. He's a young man. He's not so much strict for the sake of strictness, but he's totally convinced in God's grace. If we just separate a little from the flesh, you know, that is necessary, like we heard today. He is theologically very astute, and he is a strong believer, a good man. But the people don't like him. He doesn't come to the guests, to the caverns. He is never seen drinking. He is always acting. He looks nice, but he's always looking, acting very correct towards the ladies, where the old father sometimes gave them a bang on their behind, you know, and they laughed and felt was a very nice, you know, village life. No, he doesn't do such things. He is very correct. He sometimes looks down when there is a problem which is too intense, you know. So the village just doesn't like it, doesn't like him. And more and more a resistance develops against him. Then Christmas evening comes and the village decide 2 days before Christmas even, we will boycott this jerk. Boycott. That means no one of us will come into the church on Christmas Eve. We will be in the caverns. We will sing Hallelujah there and other songs as well. So now the movie camera, you know, Ingmar Bergman, black and white, very existential, dramatic lens shows the priest comes in a very holy, very, very moved way. He will now perform the holy, is it called liturgy. And he comes from the back room, from the side room. He puts the articles, he's dressed in the gown of the priest. He looks at Jesus, his Lord, who was born on this very sacred day. And now he turns around to address the congregation. No one is there. Not even a mouse has arrived on Christmas Eve in the church. This is the altar. I will now play it for you. You know, here's the cross. There's Jesus, his Lord, who took all this trouble to take all the sufferings from mankind. He has done his work, preparing everything. With a very joyful, pious look, he has turned around, wanting to greet everyone with the most sacred of joy. You know, we are all together. And no one is there. And then he knows, he thinks, why no one is there? Oh my God, they don't like me. They want me to be like them. They want me to be with in the caverns. They want me to deal in a way with the ladies, and they have boycotted me now. And then he goes to Jesus. He goes to the empty church. He goes to Jesus. And in his mind, he goes to the caverns, to the people who live their life. And he's torn. I should save them, like my Lord, the Savior, has gone to save them. I should also now just do it and just jump over my shadow and my own reservations. And I should go maybe in the caverns and talk small talk and talk with them and so on. And but then it's the day of the birthday of my Lord. And then you see how something goes on. It's the existential thought. And then he just, finally he knows what he's doing. He goes to the altar. He takes the things and he says, Hallelujah! And he comes out and he dances and he is moved because he celebrates his Lord. He doesn't go into the world. He doesn't do this. So I believe it is at this stage where Christianity was at one stage also standing here. How to gain followers? Or how to gain the mercy of the Lord? I'm now making a black and white thing. It's not always so black and white. But Christianity turned this way into the cavern to save a following. And I believe at least we need sometimes to turn this way. So in this seminar, what I conceive or retreat, I really want you to point you to the Holy Name. And this is my desire, and this is what I want to show you. Please have this time in your life where you turn this way, and that is your chanting time. Please do not. We need to go this way also, to the world, to the people, our children, our obligations, our duties. But you need to have a time where you turn this way. At least as a child, I was so impressed, and I did not yet know about Krishna consciousness when I saw that movie. I only said, I will turn also that way in my life. I feel if I turn that way, everything will be taken care of. And when I read in the Bhagavatam how by watering the roots of the tree, all the other leaves are taken care, I thought that appeals to me. That's me. I like to do it. It will be a difficult path, but I like to do it. So in my seminar, I wanted to serve you to turn towards the chanting of your to turn this way, so to say, to turn towards the Lord, because that is something from me. That is my own credo, so to say. Credo is that
credo.
Credo, yes, that's my own motto. I'm not successful in this, unfortunately, but I'm trying. You know. Who will say I'm like this? My mind is very active. Another thing is, I want to say a disclaimer. Some have said I'm contemplated. I'm not. I'm very restless in my mind, and I think you have seen. I know Ingmar Bergman movies. That was before Krishna consciousness. I know many things, and my mind is very creative. But I have just noted in my life that I have joined my mind to this movement. I have given up other pursuits in life. I might as well take what is there. And I'm really feel that what is there is the Holy Name that has been given to me by my spiritual master at the time of my initiation of spiritual into spiritual life, and I really want to make it as I want to now experience it. I want to now go into it, and that is a little bit what was my intention. So, but I'm not such a good communicator, because all I have learned really in my life is this lecturing, and now if we want to do retreats, I want to do it better. Therefore, I was so happy when we devotees suggested that we make an open round, and devotees suggested that we make diets, and and I think it is your sacred duty to tell me now in a feedback session what we can do, what I can do to improve. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Hari Bol. Yes, I have my notepad here, and I'm writing it on the same page where your expectations I've written down. Yes, please, now it's up to you, Rukmini.
I've heard from many devotees if there was any spot on the moon at all, I would say that because you were trying very hard to stay within your time restrictions, and you wanted it to be one additional day, I think, initially. And I think that would be, you know, if there were, could be one additional day, then you'd have more time for questions.
Yeah, more. Thank you. Mm-hmm. This is very, very helpful. Please, we are together one group, and we want to make it good. Yeah, more questions. Yes, this more. Yes, yes, more. Mm-hmm.
We needed another day, I think, and that
would be
original.
Okay, thank you. Could we pass the mic to record? Yes. Who would be our recording? I always forget the Jatavi. Jatavi. Yeah.
I'll bring it around.
Yeah.
Jatavi.
Yeah, right. That I need to again the time factor. Yes, but please speak very briefly, so that
and people can write. You want people to write things down too, right?
Yes. Can we give you a piece of paper with suggestions on it if we can't speak?
Yeah, well, just random ideas. You could just a couple of questions up, or just a general question: how can I improve, or what do you like? What we just speak? You could put some questions up, and people could take 16 minutes and just write it down.
Everyone
can share a lot.
Is that a good idea?
Do you have email,
Mara?
Oh,
we
can
send
you.
Do it now.
No, do it now.
I don't answer it. Email is the worst thing for me.
No, if people just take up some time right now, if they want to write down their feedback. Because everybody can do it, otherwise you just hear five people.
So two questions we have. Since you are experienced with the communication also, what are the two questions? Please guide us.
What did you like,
and where is room for improvement?
Yeah.
That is nice. Huh? Okay. Two questions.
Yeah, kind of, what did you like the most?
What did you like the most?
It could be 1, 2, 3, 5 things. And where is there room for improvement?
And please write in a handwriting which is readable for a normal person.
That's a challenge.
Suggestions for improvement. Is this just specifically
the
seminar
content, or
also the some of the elements?
Yes.
Everything. I would be so happy to make it better, and you were now the you can help me in doing this.
Huh? So yeah, the food, the anything, the transportation, the seminar.
Is it the facilities, the content, and the presentation?
Okay, so why don't we put a third question here? Logistics and facilities. If you have any,